In fact, we celebrate today that He has changed everything. That Easter, as we celebrate Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, it changes everything. And this morning, the good news about being here at First Service, you know I got to get done before 11, right? So that's why some of you were thinking. You were like, you know, hey, we'll get in there First Service. He'll be done, I'm sure, no later than... we'll see. This is my first. I'm a first timer here on two services, so we'll see what happens. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to look at God's Word. It's what we do. We believe in it. It's good, and it is still applicable for us today to not just read, but to soak and take in, and allow it to change and affect us. So Matthew chapter 27 is where we're going to look today, and really focusing on this question, this purpose of how Easter changes everything. How Easter changes everything. And of course, we know it's not Easter, but it's Jesus. But today we celebrate what He has done for us. So Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to begin reading in verse 62. Bet you didn't even know there were 62 verses in Matthew chapter 27. Okay, maybe you did. Everybody got quiet. No, I knew that. If you're visiting here this morning, welcome. We're so glad that you're here. My name is Pastor Tom, and I have the privilege of serving alongside all these great people around here. And we're so glad that you're here with us today. We believe that life apart is lonely. And God calls us the body of Christ. In fact, there are other parts of the body that are meeting all over the world today, celebrating that there is one Savior, one Lord, one King, and He rose from the dead. He's not found in a tomb or a mausoleum or any kind of crypt. He is ascended, and He's at the right hand of the Father today. And one day He will return. And that's good news for us today. And this morning I'm excited to look at His Word as we celebrate a Savior who lives. Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 62. It says this: the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. They said, "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said," we know here these chief priests and Pharisees are calling Jesus the deceiver now. He said, "The deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.'" Even the religious people knew what Jesus was about to do. And he said this: "So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead." There are people who still believe this today, that this is what happened. That Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, that his disciples took the body. But here's what they said. They said, the last deception will be worse than the first. "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. Into chapter 28, it says, "After the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said.'" I'm so glad this morning that we serve a Savior who does just what he said. Let's pray. Father, today we thank you for your word. You are worthy of all honor and glory and praise. And God, today in this place, we know that your Spirit is here. Your word declares that where two or three would gather and exalt, lift up, magnify your name, that your presence is there in the midst of them. And God, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts today, that you would challenge us, encourage us, maybe call some of us back home to yourself. Lord, for you are alive. And we thank you for what you're going to do in this place. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 This changes everything. Today, what we celebrate really changes everything. And I want to look at three things quickly about how Easter changes everything. And I believe it'll be good news for all of us here. The first thing I want us to see right here, and we just read it. We came out of Matthew 28, verse 6. It says, the angel says, he is not here. He has risen just as he said. The first thing that we celebrate here on Resurrection Sunday is that Jesus has changed death to life. That the grave could not defeat, that death could not hold, and that Jesus has risen from the dead. And there's good news in that. There's good news for us in that. See, this changes everything. Death is pretty final. And the truth is, all, except for just a few, have experienced that finality of death. Once it comes, it's done. I think about poor Lazarus who had to die twice. Maybe you're like, no, that was a miracle. I don't know about that. I got to tell you, once I go, this word declares that he's preparing a place for me, and it's much better than this earth. I don't have to worry about it snowing in the midst of an outreach, right? It is good. It is a good place. And I got to tell you, I don't want you praying for me to come back from the dead. Let me be. I am going to be right where I want to be. And for us, this is a truth that what Easter does, because Jesus rose again, you and I can also experience a resurrection in life and then thereafter. You see, we have people who would doubt and say, no, that didn't happen, or people who would criticize or come against or say, no, he didn't really rise up from the dead. What happened was he stole the body. But yet we see here in Matthew that they tried to install, a first century security system. Right? I was just told about, now you can see, they got the commercials of the doorbells where you can see the people. And it's security. It's for your security. You could see people who are coming to your door. They didn't have that back then, but what they did have was something maybe better. They rolled probably about a 2-ton rock or stone in front of this opening. That would take many people to push and move. Talked about those inflatables that we had to move. Oh my goodness. We were probably hilarious to watch. Trying to move those things. And those are only a couple hundred pounds, probably 400 or 500 pounds. And it took, probably about four or five guys of us to try and lift and move that. Here's a 2-ton stone that would be in front of the opening of where they placed Jesus' body. But that wasn't it. That wasn't the only thing. They also put a Roman seal on the stone. And what they would have done was put it right on the stone that was blocking the entry. And then they would have put a rope and put the other side, attached it with wax to the side of the rock, so that it would have been encased with this wax. So there's no way it could have been opened. And if that seal was broken, you were going to be under the direct authority and death. It was a death sentence of the Roman government, which was the most powerful democracy there of its time. Maybe not democracy, but the most powerful system of its time. And see, not only that did they do, then they posted guards in front of it. This gets us back to that, the new doorbells with the camera. You don't need a camera when you've got people standing there. And it's basic. most, and there's debate about it, but there's probably anywhere from 2 to 4 guards that are standing watch over the tomb. And see, we see this that happens, and we see the account that Matthew tells us about, that the angel of the Lord appears like lightning, and he rolls this tomb away, and these guards are so terrified. And I love how the angel doesn't even address them, right? Don't even talk to him. Speaks to the women. He says, "Now that who you're looking for is not here. He is risen from the dead." Because of Easter, it changes everything. It changes it. We can experience not just death, but life. Romans 6 tells us this. Verse 3, it says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And then it goes on to say in verse 11 or 9, verse 9 through 11, it says, "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death has no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." This is good news for us today. It changes everything for us today. You see, because this is truth. The Bible is clear that the wages, the cost, the price of sin is death. Oh, but there is a gift that God has given us in his Son, Jesus Christ, that we can receive the grace of God and we can go from death to life. That we can go from death to life. And today, if you see people getting excited during singing and during worship and praise, and you see people getting excited even as we're talking, it's because they know the difference between death and life. Because once we were dead in our trespasses, our sins, oh, but because of Easter, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, and then he rose again. See, there were many people. Jesus was not the only person who was ever crucified, but he's the only person who was ever crucified for your sin, for my sin. Who lived a perfect life, who was the perfect Lamb of God. I heard it yesterday as we were out here and some kids were complaining about candy. And the mom said, "Listen, it's not about the bunny, it's about the lamb. You need to learn that." And I thought, oh yeah, you go ahead, girl. You know, that's exactly right. You know, we today, and I know that many, why do we worry about the bunny? Well, we just want to get people. If the bunny gets people here, then we can tell them about the Lamb. And it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And that's what we celebrate today. That not only he did that, but then he rose again. He rose again that we may go from death to life. And that's good news for us today. Boy, that's really great news for us today. That no longer do we have to worry about the death that we would earn through sin. But it's the life that we are able to receive by the grace of God that we can live in. How does Easter change everything? Because it takes us from death to life. The second thing we see that Easter changes, it does this. It takes doubters and changes them to disciples. Doubters to disciples. See, imagine this. Before the resurrection, there's probably about 120 followers of Jesus. Now imagine with me, maybe you're aware or you are on the latest Christian news programs or television programs. Jesus never had TBN. Jesus never built a physical building to say, "Come and gather." He did build a building. But it wasn't this physical thing of rock and mortar. Jesus never traveled more than 200 miles from his home. Yet today, there are followers of Jesus all around this world. Why? Because Easter changes doubters to disciples. Now, I know everybody who are looking at me, and if you're sleeping, man, just sleep. It's okay. It doesn't bother me. I just feel like rest in the presence. Rest in the presence. But if you're looking at me, I want you to be honest with me. Have you ever had a doubt when it comes to faith? Can I tell you that even the people who stood next to Jesus had doubts when it came to faith? One of the best names in the Bible. Oh, you know, I think sometimes, Dad, why not something better, you know? Right? But him too. I mean, his name's Tom as well. So, right? Doubting Thomas, right? But not you, right? Just Thomas. Oh, I can't believe that guy, right? Had to literally put his fingers, right? He just didn't believe it. And he doubted. See, what happens when we experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, it changes doubters to disciples. And that's what happened here throughout the gospel. Peter, oh, I'll never disown you. He had a little girl. Begins to say, now, weren't you one who was... Oh, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he denies Christ. After he had just told Jesus, I'll never... Why isn't that us sometimes? Well, I'll never doubt God. I'll never... You know what I'm so grateful for? Is that even though Jesus knew Peter would doubt, he still loved him? See, your failure does not hinder God's love for you. Our shortcomings, our missteps does not keep God's love from us. He doesn't say, you know what? Nope, I know what you're going to do, so I'm not even going to care. I'm not even going to try. We do that sometimes. Why even bother? Why do I even bother with you? Every time it seems like you let me down. I'm so glad that we serve a God and a Savior who loves us so much that every time that we stumble, that we fall, He doesn't stand over us and say, why do I even bother? But He reaches down and He picks us up and He embraces us with a love that only a heavenly Father can do. And He loves us. Easter changes doubters and makes them disciples. We see this. And this is what we see in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 6, it says this. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. See, this is not just some hearsay. Hey, did you hear? It was, hey, haven't you seen? See, these people had seen it with their eyes. And not only did they see it with their eyes, they were willing to give their lives. To not recant, to not deny, to not go back on, but to say, no, I have seen with my eyes. Well, Pastor, how does that happen with us today then? Have you seen them? I mean, I've heard stories like feathers and stuff. I mean, but have you seen them? Yeah, I've seen them. Maybe not in a physical sense, right? We got white Jesus, black Jesus. You know, we got these different pictures right on our wall. I think when we see them, we're going to be blown away. We're going to think, what was the artist even thinking? I mean, again, it's right here. He wants us to see Him, to know Him. And it's so much more, right? Yeah, the Bible even tells us that it is credited to us that we believe without even physically seeing. How much greater faith. And it's good for us. Miss Terry, would you come? Not that I'm wrapping it up, but it'll sound good as I'm trying. It changes doubters to disciples. And today I want you to know that God's not afraid of your doubts. This morning, maybe you came into this place and you thought, I'm not so sure about all this. You know, if I'm being honest, I believe in a God, but I'm not so sure. Can I tell you that this book for quite a while has been tried to be disproven, and yet it still remains? In fact, there's more evidence extra or outside of the Bible that would point us back to the Bible. You know this earthquake that they talk about here, that when the angel comes and the earthquakes, right? An 8.2 earthquake was actually acknowledged by researchers during this time frame. At about 33 AD, right in that area. It is research points us back to this. For quite some time, people have been trying to disprove this. And yet it remains. And really what it comes back to is opinion. It's a great thing about social media. Everybody's got an opinion and it always matters. Right? It's opinion. You might even say, well, Pastor, that's your opinion that you believe that. I want to see it. I want to know it. Look right here. You're seeing it. I once was on a different side of the track. See, the truth is you're seeing it right here. In me. Not because I'm perfect. Please. Please don't put that on me. I won't receive it. But I have been changed by the power and love of God. And I am not who I once was. I'm still a work in progress. But I'm not who I once was. Well, I want to see the tangible proof. Look around. Look around. You've heard Pastor Eric's testimony. Somebody who's been changed. We have been changed by the power and the goodness of God. Grace and mercy of God. Jesus' resurrection, it changes doubters to disciples. It brings us from death to life. And the last thing, it's kind of all intertwined. But it takes us from sin to salvation. See, because He has rose again, sin has no power. Death could not contain. The grave could not hold. And yet the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead would dwell within us. And it brings us from sin to salvation. See, sin has always been the problem from the beginning. Yet God has always been the answer. Always been the answer. Ephesians chapter 2 says this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time. we were gratifying the cravings of the sinful nature. And following its desires and thoughts like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Skipping down a few verses, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." See, Easter changes everything. Because here's the good news today. That although we were dead in sin, because of God's sacrifice for us, because of Jesus taking upon our sin and our transgressions upon the cross, dying the death that He did to atone for sins, that we can go from death to life. The good news today is He's still changing doubters into disciples. And if you're here today, it's not by accident or coincidence. God doesn't operate that way. He operates through appointment. And God wants you to know that He loves you and He can handle your doubts. And I love talking about people's doubts. "Well, I'm not so sure about this." Well, let's look at it. Let's look at it. Let's see if we can find what it would say in here. And then see what it would say maybe outside of here that will point back to here. And because of the resurrection, we can go from sin to salvation. See, I got to tell you today that just as it says in Ephesians 2, every single one of us were once sinners. Not only says that Ephesians 2, it says it in Romans 3. Every single one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. Yet the good news is that even though we were once sinners, we can step into being forgiven. Receiving the grace of Jesus Christ through what He has done for us, not just on the cross, but in the empty tomb. Would you stand with me this morning? They said it couldn't be done. Yet Easter changes everything. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, "Pastor, I have relationship with God and it's good. It's not perfect, but it's good. And I've had some ups and downs, but I tell you what, God has been faithful and He's been good to me." I want to encourage you today to continue to pursue, continue to press into all that God has for you. Can I tell you today that no matter where you are on your journey of faith, there's more. There's more that God wants to do in you. There's more that God wants to do through you. But maybe you're here today on this Easter Sunday and you'd say, "Pastor, if I'm being completely honest, my life is not right with God. I've been like that doubting Thomas. I've been like those who have doubted." Can I tell you that if it was just 100% clear, there would be no need for faith? The Bible is pretty clear. Faith is believing what we cannot see. I believe in air even though I don't really see it. But it's still there. We can measure it. We can account for it. And can I tell you the same thing about God? We can measure it. I'm one. We can account for it. I'm one. Not because I've been perfect, but man, because I've messed up. And yet He has been good to me. Can I tell you today, maybe you find yourself in that place, not being right with God. Maybe doubting some things. Can I encourage you today? Because of the resurrection, we can bring our doubts, we can bring our cares, our worries before Him. And He's not repulsed. He's not mad. He's not upset. In fact, He's waiting. He's waiting. And in just a few minutes, I'm just going to ask you to respond to that today. If you are here and you would be honest and say, as far as relationship with God, you know, I know about God, but I don't really have relationship with God. Can I tell you that there's a difference? See, I know a lot about a lot of you. But when it comes to intimate or close relationship, we probably don't have that. You can blame me if you want. But the truth is, God knows everything about you. This is the good news about God, is that even though He knows everything about you, He still loves you. See, the truth is, even in regards to me, if you knew everything about me, you may not care for me. I know some of you still are trying to work through that I'm a State fan. You know, I know that there's a rub. I know. Give me grace. You know, this is a God who knows everything about you. And He came and gave Himself for you. That this is love. Not that we first loved Him, but that He first loved us. Gave Himself for us. Let's pray today. Father, I thank You for this time that we've had together.